Welcome to another edition of Point of View. I'm your host, Sean Religate-Fulvey. Today in the studio, we have a 30-minute interview with student senator Kevin Wilson, who will be telling us all about the president's task force, and we're going to have a wide-reaching discussion about student politics at Brock University. Before we get to the interview, let's go through some of the announcements and headlines for Brock University. The Brock University Student Radio Collective meeting will be taking place this October the 3rd, Thursday at 7 p.m. The location is at the Red Hot Chili Pepper. The Brock University Students Union Annual General Meeting is going to be held on October 8th at 5 p.m. in TH245, that's Thistle 245. The AGM is, of course, a very important event in the democratic structure of Brock University. It represents an opportunity for members of the corporation, which is all undergraduates of Brock University, to participate in a direct democracy method of engagement. Article 8 of the BUSU Constitution specifies in subsection 3 that such a meeting of general meetings may, upon approval of the majority of the members of the corporation, make recommendations, policies, amendments, or bylaws that are binding to the corporation, the board, and to the Brock University Students Administrative Council. As we've covered on the program before, there will be referendums coming up this October. October 29th through 31st will be the voting period, and campaigns begin on Monday, October 21st. There's also going to be by-elections for BUSAC councillors. But let's focus on the four referendums in no particular order. The first referendum is the student life fee repeal. Voting yes would cancel the $20 per credit student life fee. The petition was originated and organized by Anthony Deeb, who will be the Yes campaign spokesperson. Secondly, Brock University Student Radio is also up for referendum. Voting yes would cancel the $1.50 per credit fee for Brock University Student Radio. The referendum was originated by a petition organized by BUSAC counselors, and the Yes campaign spokesperson is BUSAC counselor Andrew Kemble. Third referendum is a constitutional amendment where voting yes would amend the Constitution to increase the petition quorum from 2% to 7% and the referendum quorum from 10% to 14%. It would also roll the portfolio of the Vice President of University Affairs into a new Vice President of External Affairs. The referendum was originated by BUSU executive team and approved by BUSAC. The Vice President of Finance and Administration, Christopher Yent, is the Yes campaign spokesperson. Also, the fourth referendum of this October will be Student Justice Center renewal. Voting yes would continue funding 85% per credit for Brock University Student Justice Center. The referendum originated by an expiry from the previous Memorandum of Understanding, and the SJC coordinator, Brandon Vryzin, will be the Yes campaign spokesperson. It's not yet known who will represent the no sides of these respective referendums, but it is believed that no campaigns are being organized by the Student Life Fee and Brock University Student Radio by their respective stakeholders. Contact Chief Returning Officer Adam Marshall at cro@busu.net for information about starting or joining a campaign. You can reach out to talk to us on the program by emailing povradiobrock@gmail.com. Find us on facebook.com/POVradio, as well as you can follow up on some of these news stories by visiting my news website, brockbug.com. We're joined in the studio by Kevin Wilson, a community recreation undergraduate and a member of the faculty of
Applied Health Science.
So how did you start in student governance?
Well, I guess it was a little bit of an interesting story in the sense that I was sitting in a political science classroom and one of the executives was trying to get more people involved in student governance. And basically he held a campaign package or a package to gain signatures to run in the election. And he was basically just advertising it in the poli-sci class. I am a poli-sci minor, and that's why I was there. And I decided to pick up a package. And as soon as I said I was in the Faculty of Applied Health Science, he was very, very excited about a Faculty of Applied Health Science member trying to get on council, as it's typically been an area that Faculty of Applied Health Science students haven't really gotten as involved as they hopefully should be.
So we have you on the show today to talk primarily about the Brock University President's Task Force, which was announced over the summer, which promised an end-to-end reassessment of the institution, but recently had a sort of plot twist at Senate. So before we get into that, just tell me a little bit about what positions you hold on Senate and what committees you hold, and what is sort of the Senate process? Help set the stage for us.
Well, Senate is in charge of all academic program at Brock University, and it's composed of, I believe, 60 university staff, whether they're faculty or administration, and also 6 undergraduate students. Last year, in the March election period, I ran for student Senate position, and that's basically how I got on. Since then, I've been able to acquire a position on the undergraduate program committee. And we tend to meet every 2 to 3 weeks to go over the academic programs at Brock. It's not exactly a full review of the programs. It's more of faculties and professors bringing up new programs or removing programs from their current undergraduate calendar. And so each of these changes normally will go in for the next year.
So at the Senate meeting, what emerged last week regarding the President's Task Force?
Well, what emerged was there was two items on the agenda. One of the main ones was to remove the academic review out of the Presidential Task Force scope in terms of what the Presidential Task Force is reviewing in its program review. It was a very contentious issue, and there was a lot said on the floor.
Was this a positive turn of events?
It's hard to say, realistically. And it's because, in my view of this, academic program review is a very important thing to do. And it should be an ongoing process. Basically, the debate on the floor of Senate was whether it should be under the Presidential Task Force jurisdiction or not, as the Presidential Task Force is a fairly contentious body. My kind of view on it, and I did vocalize this, was that we should allow the Presidential Task Force to continue its academic review. However, Senate should also be doing a review themselves. And the reason for this is because ultimately Senate has control over what changes are actually made or not. So the Presidential Task Force, even if they did an academic review, they could only make recommendations to Senate, and they could not actually pull any academic programs out. So they could only really make recommendations, and Senate would still have the final say. So in that sense, I thought that it was okay to let the Presidential Task Force continue and do its academic review, as long as the Senate kind of liked the process that was going on. And if they did not like the process that was going on, then Senate should also be doing an academic review at the same time. Just for kind of the sake of things, what I've been told by a member of the task force is that there is a certain chunk of money that has been assigned to this task force. And regardless of whether it is reviewing academics or not, the chunk of money is not going to change. So therefore, if the Presidential Task Force isn't reviewing as much, in my eyes, it's not as an efficient use of the money that's allocated there. And therefore, you might as well allow them to continue to do the academic review, and hopefully Senate agrees on whatever the outcomes are.
In a past episode of Point of View, which you can view at facebook.com/POVradio, we interviewed the Brock University Faculty Association President, Dr. Linda Rose Krasner, who expressed the outline that BUFA had regarding their concerns. So visit facebook.com/POVradio to find that, as well as you can find the following week we talked to the Provost and Vice President Academic of Brock University, Dr. Murray Canutola, who is the chair of the task force, and he also spoke on those topics. Question I guess I would have is if it did continue, as you suggest, with the academic review for the President's Task Force, wouldn't the complaint that BUFA has about an extraneous amount of paperwork and the burdensomeness of of academic review. They actually pointed at a 1 million hour number, saying that how much time it was going to take. And then also they've gone that in recent letters that they've sent to the public, to their faculty members. Well, they calculated the number of hours that they thought that it might take. So part of their argument is that this is terribly burdensome on the faculty to even engage in this process at all. I mean, how do you respond to that?
Well, one thing I think is that if you look at kind of the history of finances at Brock, unfortunately, there has been a deficit that's been running since about 2006. So I do think that it is a little bit of a... of a timely manner that we do need to engage in this academic review. And realistically, sorry, can you repeat the question?
Well, the question is there's still a great deal of paperwork for faculty to do. Is faculty sort of resistant or has, through BUFA has expressed resistance to the task force, one of their arguments being it's a short time frame and a lot of work.
It is a short time frame and a lot of work. However, like I said, realistically, we are in a very, very unfortunate situation regarding the budget. And the fact of the matter is that I've talked to multiple people about an academic review, and it's really hard to get a clear answer from anyone in terms of how or when the last actual academic review was done. Some say it's never been done in the history of Brock. Some say it's, you know, supposed to happen every 7 years. And others say, you know, the last one was 20 years ago. So realistically, I think that it is timely. And if the academic review isn't done alongside of the other review that's being done, then one problem that I could see is that student services will be hit way harder than actual academics. And student services that are essential to just student life at Brock are going to be hit a lot harder because they're the ones that are going to be reviewed almost, you know, a year in advance before the academic review. And if we are in such a, and we are in a very kind of fiscally pressured time, and therefore they are going to want to cut budgets kind of sooner than later, and therefore that's why the student services are probably going to be hit first if academics aren't done along the same side as them.
So the result of the president's task force was that all matters academic were pulled, the result of the Senate meeting was that all matters regarding to academics were pulled out of the president's task force purview.
Yeah, that was essentially what was done, and it realistically, once again, is a recommendation because the President's Task Force can choose to take the Senate up on that, or it cannot. I believe the President's Task Force will, but we'll kind of see in terms of to be continued what is next to be done. One thing I think that the Senate is very, very adamant about, and I totally agree with them, is that there should be a little bit more minutes taken with Presidential Task Force committee meetings, and there should be a little bit more of an open-door transparency process. I do agree with a lot of the senators when they say that there should be more minutes taken instead of just regular kind of updates on the Brock University page, because you don't really know what exactly was said during the meetings.
But you were there, and you do recall what was said. So what was your perspective during that meeting?
I meant in terms of when I said that there weren't... PTF, there's
right.
No minutes taken. This was... yes, there are minutes taken during Senate.
Right.
They're not as detailed as, say, our BUSAC minutes.
Okay.
But basically, I stood up and I said that realistically, program review should be an ongoing process, and it's important for students to make sure that the programs are still relevant, essentially. And because it should be an ongoing process, I don't really understand why it's not really like currently going on, and we should be taking a little bit more initiative as senators ourselves and doing this academic review process. And then that's when I suggested towards the end of kind of my little speech that the Senate should do a academic review alongside of the presidential task force, because if they do them at the same time and they end up with the same conclusions at the end of the day, then the Senate will have a very easy job at determining which programs are going to be cut. Unfortunately, if they come up with totally different results, then it might become a little bit more contentious, but you know, that is something that you would meet later down the road if they were both doing the review. And so my recommendation was that they should both do the review at the same time.
Well, let's change gears a little bit. We're talking about CASA, the Canadian Association of Student Association, the Canadian Alliance of Student Associations. Yeah, what have you learned about CASA, and what do you view should be done?
I've learned a little bit about CASA, and realistically, they are coming in to make a presentation in Busac in a couple weeks, and I'm really excited for that. I really want to be there for that. I may be involved in some other stuff, which means I might not be a voting member of council at the time, but at the same time, I will attend as a viewer at minimum. CASA basically lobbies on behalf of students to the federal government. Realistically, I know some people think that that isn't the best way to lobby for students, as the federal government isn't as much in charge of the post-secondary education in Canada. Realistically, the jurisdiction of that matter or falls under the provincial government. Regarding CASA, we've been a member for quite a long time. I believe it was 2002 or 2003.
So just to explain that, the Canadian Alliance of Student Associations receives some sort of membership payment from Brock University Students Union. And that, where does the funding come from? Like, where does that money come from to provide that payment to CASA?
The funding comes out of the BUSU Division 1 budget.
Okay. So was there, like, as far as joining the membership, was there a referendum, or how did that come about that there was, that BUSU is now a member of CASA, or has been for 10 years?
There was a referendum back before we decided to join CASA. They tried to run the referendum twice, actually. Neither time it actually met quorum, which is a little bit unfortunate, because I guess it shows a little bit of either the apathy or the...
And this was back around 2002.
Yeah, or the non-dedication of whoever the student representatives were to get that information out to students. One of the two. I'm not really too sure, as I've only been here since about 2010. But realistically, because it didn't meet quorum twice, the BUSU executives at the time figured that it was still important to join CASA, and they decided to join it, and we have been members ever since.
So can you draw a distinction between CASA and CFS, the Canadian Federation of Students?
Yeah, the Canadian Federation of Students, I've watched some recent debates from them online, and one thing that they have pushed for a long time is free education for Canadians, basically, post-secondary education. I'm not too keen on that view, as I think it's a little bit more of a radical view. And if you go through the numbers, actually, Canada, I believe... some studies showed this year that Canada is one of the most educated countries in the world, if not the most educated country in the world in terms of the most people with at least bachelor degrees. If that is the case, and that is a true study, then realistically Canadians do have access to post-secondary education. Things that CASA kind of more lean to... I can't particularly say because I haven't looked.
So do you mean the CFS?
No, CASA. So okay. Yeah, I'm going back into CASA.
Okay,
now.
Yeah.
Realistically, I think that CASA has more views that are kind of similar to USA in terms of capping tuition at the rate of inflation to keep universities sustainable and still at the accessible level. Yes.
Need a break from your studies? Looking for work experience? Then why not join the CFU volunteer crew? It's wicked fun, and you can learn about the music industry while making new friends and developing skills. So if you need a diversion or just want to have some fun, find out how you can be a Brock Radio volunteer. Visit our website at cfbu.ca. CFBU 103.7 FM. Truly diverse radio.
Joined in the studio by Kevin Wilson, we're talking about some campus politics, including the President's Task Force and some post-secondary education issues. One of the topics that comes to mind for me is always The efficacy of the student government is BUSAC really doing all they can? Now, you're not a BUSAC counselor, you're a BUSAC member in that you, because you are part of the board of directors, you have a vote, but you're sort of not part of the BUSAC counselorship. So maybe you have a bit of an observational position where you can observe what's happening. How do you view like what BUSAC in terms of, I guess you've been involved for about a year or two. Have you seen it grow? Have you seen the engagement increase? And that said, what kind of improvements could be made to improving what BUSAC, how BUSAC represents the undergraduates?
That's a pretty tough question. In terms of where I'm at on BUSAC, I'm technically a member kind of on two different ways. I'm an observing member as a senator, meaning that if I don't have a vote as a senator. However, but I am a board of director member of BUSU, which does mean I do have a vote. And it's kind of a little bit hard to distinguish in the sense that I'm representing the university at BUSAC, but I'm also representing the BUSU board, essentially. In terms of the representation on BUSAC, one thing that I would really like to see in this October election that is coming up is more people running for the election, as there are some positions open right now. And I would really, really hope that the undergraduate population, you know, picks up one of the campaign packages and decides to run in the election, because I think that it's important that the BUSAC counselors are elected as they're kind of better representatives of their faculties.
So at this time, there's a number of BUSAC representatives who were acclaimed to their position because there was no one running against them?
Yes, that is the case. And to be honest, that's the case in terms of myself as how I got onto BUSAC.
Okay.
I was acclaimed my first year that I ran. And actually, part of the reason why I wanted to run for the board of director position was because I wanted to actually feel what an election was like. I wanted to really get my face out there. And I wanted to talk to students as opposed to, you know, just filling out a package.
So this October, there are BUSAC counselor by-elections. We're going to find out on the program how many different positions are available and what positions they are for an upcoming broadcast. From what I understand, the nomination kits are due around October 10th. So we have about a week left for would-be counselors to get their nominations, get their signatures, and submit them to the government operations manager or the chief returning officer. We'll have more information on the program about that in the future. I wanted to talk to you about basically what contributes to government apathy. I know it's a philosophical question, but I mean, what are your thoughts on where is apathy at Brock University? What is apathy?
It's difficult to describe, and realistically, before I was involved in BUSAC, BUSU, and all this sort of stuff, I will fully admit I was a very, very apathetic student. When I originally filled out the election package, I really did not know what I was stepping into at all. I had no clue what BUSAC actually voted upon. I had no clue that they were in charge of bylaws. I had no clue that they were in charge of club funding. But once I was a part of BUSAC, I realized what it was, and it was, in my opinion, it's very relevant to what I want to do long term. I'm a community recreation major, I'm also minoring in political science, and the reason why I think that is relevant to my area of study is because I'm hoping to eventually go and get involved in a municipal government, basically. And so I view BUSAC very similar to a local council in the fact that we determine a little bit of funding in terms of where it goes. And we also create bylaws or amend bylaws that dictate basically the operations or how kind of different aspects of the student body work. In terms of the apathy question, I think that each year we've gotten stronger as an organization, BUSU, and you can see that in voter turnout. Last year, we almost hit 30%. And if you ask other student unions, 30% is a very, very good voter turnout percentage. There are some schools that unfortunately hover around 15 to 20%. And the reality of that is, you know, do they have enough reach? And I think that once we went to the online ballot, in terms of my knowledge, when we went to the online ballot, it did hurt voter percentage for the first year or two. And that quite possibly could be just people didn't really know as much about the transitionary period. But I think ever since then, it's yielded some very positive results in terms of each and every year, there's been a higher percentage of people vote. There's been a higher percentage of turnout, which is a really good positive thing. I know that the executives really, really are pushing, trying to bring that, I think, up to about 40%, which I think would be outstanding if we hit 40%. And I really, really do encourage every single student to vote and to try to become informed in every single election or campaign period. As realistically, the BUSU government, it does affect the services that are offered here at Brock in terms of what's offered during homecoming, what's offered during orientation week, and various other kind of services as well. It also does dictate things like how much students we draw into Brock. I know the past couple years, actually, the current president, Cooper Millard, was at the Ontario University Fair, and he was, you know, trying to engage more students, try to bring more students to Brock. And I think that that's a really good thing that BUSU can help out with a little bit. Myself, I was actually there this weekend, and I was giving, not speeches, but I was talking to possible future students just about kind of the student perspective at Brock. And I was oftentimes standing alongside with my academic advisor and one of my professors, and oftentimes they would speak to the students. They would kind of at first get them engaged, and they would kind of pass the students off to me to really get a perspective on what kind of goes on at Brock. And, you know, some of the things I'll talk about right away are BUSU. What BUSU can actually do for you. And I try to engage future students who could possibly be at Brock, you know, now, as opposed to even before they even get to Brock. So that's one way that I'm trying to, I guess, reduce apathy is before students even get to Brock, I'm talking about what BUSU does, you know, how it can help help students gain experience for future jobs and, you know, gain practical experience such as internships and work. It also, you know, is an advocacy body in the sense that it lobbies the government for us and it lobbies the university for us.
How important is being informed to contributing to your, you know, you said you were apathetic before you joined up, but then you became informed. Does that mean that now your information has provided you sort of the content of why not to be apathetic?
I would say before I was uninformed in the sense that I had no clue that BUSU did lobbying for us. I had no clue in all the potential internship opportunities. Since I've joined BUSU, I've seen all these things and I've been able to talk to people who are involved in the lobbying, involved in different internship placements and stuff like that. And I really think that I've seen the importance of it. I would say even before I came to Brock, I was a fairly apathetic student in high school. I wasn't really involved in much, and BUSU has almost turned that around for me ever since I got involved in it. I've wanted to be involved in more. I've wanted to volunteer more. It's really just changed my attitude a lot for how I go about my day-to-day life in terms of schooling.
So what are some opportunities for improvement for BUSU and what the work that BUSU does?
I think opportunities for improvement would revolve around.
I'll give you one, and the one that I would say is the annual general meetings. BUSU's annual general meetings. The next one is scheduled for October 8th. I haven't really seen much promotion of the annual general meeting, and looking back into Brock University BUSU's history, we don't see much. Annual general meeting talk, and so the importance of the annual general meeting is that it's a twice a year event where if there were more than 300 students there that achieved quorum, it would actually be the highest governing authority in all of BUSU underneath referendums.
Yeah, one unfortunate reality of that is I don't think students know. Not necessarily about the general meeting, but just know about all of the operations and all of the things that BUSU actually does for us. I know last year, before the annual general meeting, I actually stood up in a couple of my lectures that I was a part of, and I announced the exact date of it, I announced when it was, and I announced the classroom. Did I see anybody from those classes show up? No, not one. The only person that I actually saw show up at the annual general meeting, which I had kind of previously spoke to, was my roommate. And you know what? I live with four other people and only one of them wanted to come. So in that sense, I don't know if it's as much to blame BUSU, but it might just be the fact that students are only here for 4 years, and they're more focused on their schooling than they are on the other side of things. And that might be an unfortunate reality, but I personally try to market the annual general meeting. And I talk about my classroom, I talk about it to classmates, and the reality is I can only talk so much. I can't hold your hand and bring you there. Which essentially I almost had to do with my roommate. But yeah, at the same time, I do think that if BUSU had maybe markets it in a grander scheme, maybe by tabling, maybe putting, you know, the agenda out there on a table, to talk to students and stuff like that, it might be a little bit better, and you might be able to bring students out a little bit more. Or if it even kind of announced that the referendums could pass if 300 people show up, you might be able to get 300 people there if, you get that many people passionate about the referendums, because then they won't even go to election.
Yeah, right. Well, if I understand correctly, the quorum at a annual general meeting is essentially the authority is equivalent to the board of directors of BUSU. So anything that the board could do on their own, it's even higher than that. Okay.
Yeah.
Well, for my listeners, he was pointing at the ceiling. So the authority of the annual general meeting is above the authority of the...
It is the same as the student body, in terms of a student-wide vote. So essentially, a referendum can pass at an annual general meeting.
Oh, no,
or
kidding.
It can be turned down at an annual general meeting. However, a board of director decision cannot pass or deny a referendum.
Well, part of the work we're trying to do on this program is explain to the public the political structure at Brock University. So I thank you very much for coming in and talking with us. We're talking with Kevin Wilson, a senator from the Brock University, and a counselor. Well, you're not a counselor, a member of BUSAC, from the Faculty of
Applied Health Science.
Applied Health Science. Thanks so much, Kevin, for coming in.
Okay. Thanks a lot, Shander. Have a good one.
Next week on the program, we have the Brock University Administration, representatives from the admin, coming in to talk about the Brock Student Life Fee implementation. Last year, a referendum for $20 per credit for the Student Life Fee was passed, which generates a $1.5 million fund. We're going to find out from the administration the details as to how that money is being spent. We're also following up on other stories, keeping our eye on the upcoming referendums. Again, referendums taking place from October 21st, where the campaigns will begin, and voting will take place from the 29th through the 31st. So pay attention to what's going on around you, because it's pretty important stuff. Email us at povradiobrock@gmail.com. Find us on Facebook at facebook.com/povradio. For more information, visit brockbug.com and follow me on Twitter @brockbug.